All right. Well, thanks everybody for coming. Welcome to SBC 248, Yammer External Networks Engaging Customers and Partners. I'm Rich Wood with Perficient, and I'll be taking you through this session today. We're going to try to keep it fun and lighthearted. We've got a couple quick movie clips to break up the monotony of a presentation after presentation after presentation peppered throughout. I'm hearing a little distortion. Okay, it's gone. Before we jump in, how many of you are engaged on the SBC 14 Yammer network right now? Slightly more than half, that's good. How many of you know that that is a Yammer external network hosted by Microsoft? So most of the people that were engaged, maybe about half. Seems the middle, everybody in the middle seems to know what they're talking about. Yeah, let's keep going up. That's good. All right, so that's one example, and we'll talk about that one a little bit. It should be a good presentation. I hope you learn a lot. As far as our agenda, we want to create some common ground first. We want to provide definitions for enterprise social networking and extranet and create that common baseline so that we all understand this the same way. Often these terms are a little bit misunderstood. People think different things when they hear them. And for the purposes of this presentation and making sure that we're all grounded in common concepts, we'll walk through what we mean when we say enterprise social network and what we mean when we say extranet. Then we'll spend the bulk of our time stating the case for Yammer. We'll talk about external networks, why it's Yammer's secret weapon, because frankly, a lot of people use Yammer internally but haven't thought too hard about using it externally for connection yet. And it's really, it flies under the radar, but it's the case where Yammer can hit just about every social use case, including extranet, and we want to make sure people know about it. Then we'll do two demos, one very short. I'll actually take you on a tour of a live external network, a specific use case between partner and partner collaboration. You'll see how that works. And then we'll walk through all of the governance features of setting up an external networks, overall governance for external networks, global, within your Yammer home, as well as a specific external network. And hopefully we'll have time for some Q&A at the end of it. And we'll see how it goes. We're scheduled to go right up to 12 o'clock. So we'll be keeping watch on the time. There is a Yammer feed. Obviously, we encourage all of you to engage. I have a colleague, I won't do him the disservice of pointing him out in the room, but he's a Yammer certified customer success manager, admin, power user, all that great stuff, and leading a big Yammer project for us right now. So he's going to be monitoring the feed while I'm talking and helping answer questions and encourage conversation as well. So if you're not engaged on the Yammer feed during the presentation, I encourage you to go there. With that said, let's dive in. So, please, a little show of hands again. You raise your hand if you have an extranet today that you're using for external collaboration. Okay, so not that many. That's surprising, but also good. It means you're here to learn, and we appreciate that. Hopefully, we can deliver. If you use SharePoint or Yammer for external collaboration. Okay, so not all the same hands, but pretty close. All right, or if you utilize some other cloud application. Box, Dropbox, see a few more hands when I mention those. Okay. So obviously there's challenges to using free tools and other tools and siloed tools that I think that Yammer and the Microsoft stack address pretty nicely. That'll be part of our talk today. So let's talk a little bit about enterprise social networking. So when we talk about enterprise social as an engagement tool and how it brings users in and how it connects users to others, the important part is engagement. It's making sure that people are receiving communication. That's kind of the traditional understanding of an extranet. This is where we will put documents that we collaborate on together. This is where we'll publish project status reports. This is where we'll put a cache of images in an FTP site or on a box drive. We'll actually allow people to access those images. But engagement isn't just receiving the communication. It's acting on the communication and then interacting back and forth, right? So rather than just sharing something one way, now it's back way, two way, back and forth. That's the point of enterprise social networking as an engagement tool. So when we talk about enterprise social, having a common definition split up into three words: enterprise, social, and network. Enterprise, it's shared, it's common, it's accessible to all users within an organization. Often when we hear enterprise, we think large, national, or global organization, and for good reason. And it's certainly, you know, a customer segment at Microsoft. But at the same time, we talk enterprise social, it means everybody within your enterprise. That could be an academic institution, it could be a small or mid-sized business, it could be a nonprofit organization, it doesn't have to be a global 500 company. Okay, so when we talk about enterprise social networking, that does apply to everybody. Social means it's by, for, about people, right? People's the important thing, whether it's connecting people to data, people to files, people to applications, and then collaborating with other people around those things and sharing that information. That's the social aspect of an enterprise social network. And then networks, we've already heard work like a network a lot. Raise your hand for work like a network at least 5 times. Good. You're going to hear it at least 20 more by Thursday. And you're going to see it a lot more often. But it's a good phrase because it means we're working together in concert toward a common end. That's the point of the network. It's not all these different silos doing their own thing. It's leveraging the power of the network to add value. And so when we talk about enterprise social networking, it's breaking down the silos, adding value across all those different nodes. Those nodes are people connecting with people, and they're doing it across the enterprise. Common definition. So our friends over at Forrester have some words about what enterprise social networks will do on the promise of enterprise social networking. This is by Rob Koplowitz. It's a report from February of last year, specific to where enterprise social networks were going. It's still fairly pertinent, although they've certainly published newer research. They will drive more effective reuse of content assets. I like this phrase specifically, and it has very, very clear ramifications. We talk about extranets and external networking. When we think about content assets, do you ever consider email as an enterprise asset? If you don't, you should. It's information. That information contained in that email is a corporate asset. The problem with email, as you know, the folks from Yammer will tell you, as the folks from Microsoft will tell you, as you've probably heard several times already, those conversations are siloed. They're hidden behind walls between only the people who send and receive those emails. You take that to enterprise social, and you put the conversation in a Yammer feed, and now it will persist, right? And that's where the reuse will come from. But it's out there, it's public, or it's private, but that means it's public to a certain group. It's visible to people who can read it, view it, improve on it, add value to it, and really leverage the wisdom of crowds to make that asset more and more valuable to the organization. Those of you who use Yammer or even another enterprise social network tool today, I'm going to keep, you know, jumping your hands up and down because I have no mercy for that. I used to be a football coach. I'll make you do calisthenics. But a show of hands, how many of you who are enterprise social users today or even, you know, Facebook users in your consumer context have kind of scratched your heads when you see suddenly an old conversation or conversation you'd forgotten pop back up to the top of the news feed because somebody commented on it very recently? Anyone? So when we talk about effective reuse of content assets, that's a key value in social. It's bringing the most valuable content to the top, right? And that doesn't mean that it was 6 months ago, so it's stale, it's old, it's not usable anymore. If it's relevant, it's coming to the top. We talk about the Oslo app that they've been showing, and it's kind of the darling of SBC 14 right now. What that's doing is taking content and it's bringing it to the top, the most valuable content, and it doesn't necessarily have to be new, it just has to be valuable to you. It has to meet the criteria for you as a user, who you are, what you're interested in, what you've shown an interest in. If it's 6 months old or it's 6 days old, if it's important to you, it's going to pop up to the top. That's effective reuse of content. Better and faster access to expertise. Again, broadcast email casts a wide net, often gets lost in an inbox. is limited specifically to the silo of the sender and the recipients, and then maybe whoever forwards it on and starts a chain. When you look for experts within a social network, you're not limited that way anymore. Now you've got your initial recipients, the people you've tagged, but you're getting alerted, sending alerts rather, to the people who follow them. So you're casting a wider net. You've got the general public who have access to the network that you posted it on or the group that you posted it in. Anybody who can see that feed, second concentric circle, wider, right? So better and faster access to expertise. The value of this in an extranet setting is very clear. If you're not quite sure who that you're looking to connect with, but you ask a question, you'd simply target a couple people that you know might know the answer. Now, those who follow them or they themselves may come in and answer and tag that person specifically. It becomes part of the conversation. Richer and more valuable real-time interactions. You know, there's a couple sessions this morning, Cargill and Nationwide, one that's going on right now, I forget which, where the real-time interactions tell a really, really powerful story. They're both Yammer case studies, and you can go out and check those out or download the presentations. A friend of mine was relating to me how one of those has a call center where they actually posted in customer question while the customer was on the phone, tagged it, hashtag urgent customer request, or something of that nature, and got an answer on Yammer while they were on the phone with that customer, helped solve the problem. So when you talk about real-time interaction, it doesn't get more real-time than that. Again, that wide net that you cast with enterprise social makes that so much more powerful than any other communication tool. Yes, IM is real-time. Yes, link is real-time. But unless you know who you're pinging on link, and often you do, but if you don't know who to talk to, how are you going to get the answer on link? Probably three or four conversations down the road. So with enterprise social, the person that you're looking for may just see that post that you put out there immediately. And then create a platform that can support collective action. Just two more of these, I promise, counting this one. Collective action, everybody, again, it's the power of working like a network. It's people working together to add value and drive a common benefit, right? So that's the last value of enterprise social beyond one of those common benefits, which is innovation. Touch screen. I guess I'll have to start using the mouse. I like touch screens. I guess I can't use it. So, of course, enterprise social helps create innovation. It's just by the nature of it, it's more interactive, it's fun, it's quick. We talked about real time, we talked about breaking down the barriers. It's so much easier for people to innovate and work together when they're collaborating in real time. Maybe they've got the document next door, they talked about inline social. Did you all go to the roadmap session yesterday afternoon? Told you I was going to do this. Some of you, you know what? If you didn't go to the roadmap session yesterday, I think it was 282 with Christoph Fiesinger and Juliet Way, I strongly recommend you check it out. There's three things, inline social, groups, and office graph, or more detail on that, Oslo, that are very, very important for the future of enterprise social. And when we talk about striving for that culture of innovation and working like a network, those are really great examples of where that's going. So if you haven't checked that out, download it. Just don't do it now while I'm talking, please. Thank you. So, you know, obviously, we're here to talk about external networks. This is the gotcha. Wouldn't it be nice to share all of these benefits with vendors, partners, and customers, right? We think, and I've got more on this in a little bit, but we think of Yammer, of enterprise social, as internal facing, as connecting people across the organization and adding all this value, driving innovation, doing real-time collaboration, and we think about the people in the next department over. Or we think about the people down the hall. Or we think about the people that we send emails to in another office. Why aren't we thinking about our partners? Why aren't we thinking about the vendors that we have such big investments with? And why aren't we thinking about our customers in realms beyond public, Facebook and Twitter, where we have less control over sentiment and how that's cast and can only manage our brand so far? Well, we should be. And that's what we're going to talk about today. But before we get into that, Let's talk a little bit about extranets specifically, because extranets have a history. Extranets have been around for a while, and many of us use SharePoint for our extranets today or in the past, and that's why we're here. We are SharePoint people, and maybe we're not too sure about how to use Yammer in the regard of an extranet when we've been doing it with SharePoint for a long time. So let's talk about extranets. You know, what are they? Well, one, it's a system designed to provide secure external collaboration. Secure is important, right? You have to be secure. This is data that doesn't always belong to you, or it's data that does belong to you, and it's very important. So you want to make sure that the people who are accessing this data are the right people. But it's external access. It's not being shared inside your network. It's not being shared behind your firewall. It's not something through a VPN tunnel. So that's kind of a common factor of an extranet. Again, people who aren't on your network, but people that you do need to collaborate with. Talk about secure, only invited users. And it's collaborative with people. So again, it's more than an FTP site. It's not email. Might be combined with one or the other. Ideally, you're not using FTP anymore, but I have seen people that still are. Indeed. I don't want to shame anybody, but it does happen. And the collaborative functionality, obviously, is very key to taking that next step, to allow communication and discussion and collaboration back and forth. How are extranets used is the next question. Well, primarily document collaboration these days. Whether it's companies sharing a project or one company is performing a service for another, maybe they're going in together on a bid as part of a group. Maybe they're creating a common work product, but an extranet is primarily used these days for document collaboration. They're a many-to-many communication channel, and sometimes they're effective for broadcast and conversation, and oftentimes they're not. Far more often we see the document repository version of the extranet, and there may be some limited discussion. Although out of curiosity, I'll ask, because I want to keep torturing you, how many of you have an extranet where there's a robust maybe discussion forum or social feed where people are actively talking to one another at their different organizations? Whoa, got two, three. So this isn't something that happens a lot, this social conversation. So it is document collaboration. There's not a lot of communication going on. Whoa, I guess I just have to keep using the mouse. The vagaries of touch screen interfaces. Again and again and again. I just get pulled in. It's so hard not to get pulled in by this new technology, and then it tricks you. And then rich media, right? So if you can't email an attachment, and most organizations don't allow emailing of large attachments, large files, rich media very often, video files, CAD drawings, these are the kinds of things that we'll make available on extranets, right? And our reflex for extranet functionality, you know, certainly in this room, has been SharePoint. For a long time. It's why we're here. It's why we get up in arms when our customers are using Box or Dropbox. We say, well, we've got OneDrive for that. And they say, what's that? And we have to answer that question. But SharePoint has been the way that we've addressed that, you know, previously, and it's still a good way to address it. I'm going to talk a little bit about Yammer and SharePoint Online and where it's going and why that's good, but primarily we're still talking about Yammer here. On-premise SharePoint extranets secured behind SSL. Here's the real kicker. Often external users are managed through your Active Directory, so you're paying for their licenses. I see some nodding heads and some grimaces that understand this one. Strict governance as well. One of the things about a SharePoint extranet is that often you really have to be careful about how you secure the extranet for various subsets of audiences. If you collaborate with 15 different partners, several different customers. You have to make sure there's a specific site collection with specific permissions in each case and that the two shall never cross over. You have to be very, very careful about how you manage that. So that's how SharePoint and SharePoint on-premise have worked for extranets in the past. Now, the real game changer is the cloud, right? Because the cloud brings us SharePoint Online, it brings us Yammer, and it will be bringing the two together sooner and sooner, right? So what we really have then is extranet nirvana, or what we're calling extranet 2.0, right? So what SharePoint will do, and using single sign-on with Yammer, allow us for that robust document collaboration, the team sites, calendars, projects, tasks, planning, and so on that we do with SharePoint Online. All of that's good, but some of the things don't go away. We still have our security and governance questions. It's not exactly fast to spin up SharePoint extranets. With Yammer, you know, it is fast, and it's easy to set it up for real-time collaboration. It's communication-focused, and it engages users. And it's how people live and work right now. And that's a big, big part. We'll talk about that. Extranet, you know, where it's going. We've seen some of the announcements, again, referencing the roadmap session, where SharePoint Online and Yammer are going. There's going to be no better way to do an extranet as those things come closer and closer together. You know, it is the best of both worlds. But you don't have to wait for the improvements to get collaborating on Yammer. We want to talk today about what you can do now, this very minute, with Yammer, right? So the great thing about Yammer is it has a tool for every social use case. And I like to compare it in that way with something many of us know, Batman's utility belt, right? So Batman is pretty resourceful. He has a tool for every situation, much like Yammer. Yammer has a tool for every situation. You know, Batman keeps his tools in his utility belt. He's got batarangs, his grapple gun, so much stuff that he can use for any situation, including, and I did promise movies, fighting a shark. So we've seen that the resourceful Batman has a tool for every situation. Yammer has a tool for every situation, including the external network. And you might even go so far as to say it's Yammer's secret weapon, okay? Because, again, not a lot of us are thinking about external collaboration. We think about Yammer. We think about inside our organizations. So what we're here to do today is state the case of Yammer as an extranet, okay? So here's really the meat of what we're going to do for the next 20 minutes. Talk about the case of Yammer for external collaboration, specifically. So I do apologize to the folks who slipped out early. They're missing the good stuff. Why Yammer? Okay, I can't use the touchscreen. Some key reasons, right? One, it's engagement. We talked early on about enterprise social networks. The key to that is engaging the users. That's what makes an external network different than a traditional extranet, right? So you're engaging them in meaningful dialogue. You're having conversations that mean something. But at the same time, okay, you're controlling it a little bit. Let's not kid ourselves. Whether it's customers, whether it's our partners, whether it's vendors, we want them to think what we want them to think. Right? We want to manage the message. The extranet is a communication tool. This is why CMOs are looking at these things. This is why they're curious. This is why we need to have those conversations with marketing, because the extranet is just one more channel for managing the message, and it's one that we actually exercise a lot more control over than stuff that's out there in the public domain. We own the activity on Yammer, or we do in the enterprise version. We'll talk about that a little further on, too. So these are really important. And then specifically, five reasons why Yammer is key. And we're going to explore each of these in some depth. Adoptability. It's easy to pick up for users. Very easy. Yeah, I'm not going to say the V word, but you've all heard it. You know what I mean, right? No? Okay, I'm going to say it. Viral. It's viral, okay. Interactivity, it is interactive. We've talked about that. It's cloud-based, and there are advantages to being in the cloud. We'll talk about those. It's not hosted on your servers. There's really good reasons to look at an extranet for that reason. It's accessible from mobile. Technically, that's a cloud advantage too, but it's so big, we're pulling it out on its own. And then it's governable, right? It's not Facebook. It's not Box or Dropbox. It's not Twitter. You can govern your Yammer network. So,
what about LinkedIn?
I would love to answer that question right now, but I'm going to ask you to hold it for the Q&A, okay? Thanks. Just want to make sure we get everything in before we jump out. Or you can ask that on the Yammer feed, and if we don't answer it here, we'll make sure we get your written response. Sound good? Awesome. He's smiling. I think we're okay. Okay, so adoptability. You know, what's the neat thing about Yammer? One, initial adoption is almost always rapid. It's led, in many cases, by the freemium or early adopters, the people who were on Yammer before you paid a cent for it. And it's often building its own use case from that use alone, right? So internal use is key. If people are using it internally already, flipping the switch and moving over to an external network for your own users is not a problem at all. The great thing about this growing ecosystem now, and as we see from the number of people engaged on the SPC 14 network, here we go again. If you're on the SPC 14 Yammer network and you signed in, how many of you had a home Yammer network already? So a pretty fair number. Okay, the Yammer network is growing. So often the people that you're collaborating with will often have a Yammer network. And then the last point, and one that we write about a lot, in, you know, writing and so on, I post different zines and so on, is familiarity breeds usability. Banging on this message for a year now. What's it mean? It means that if you already understand something, you try to do something else that's 95% similar, it's going to be very easy for you to use. In this case, you know, we take a look at a Yammer screen, right? Let's take a look around the Yammer screen. Go on a little tour. Pay close attention to where everything is in the UI, in the user interface. The news feed, right here in the center, the most valuable real estate of any web page. Notifications appear in the upper left. Groups along the left-hand side, the various options that you have to navigate to subsets and smaller audiences. You can post updates right at the very top of the page where they'll immediately populate your newsfeed. Search is just above that, so you can go search for information at the top. Global navigation is in the top right, so getting to other aspects of your site. like the apps, and then suggested content on the bottom right. That's a Yammer screen broken down by core functions. Now, let's look at a consumer social network used by literally a billion people. Facebook. And I want you to pay attention to the similarities here. They may be coincidental. Newsfeed is in the most valuable real estate. Notifications are in the top right. Facebook actually switched that a couple months ago. Previously, it was right over in the top left where Yammers are. Groups are along the left-hand side. Updates you post in the very top. Is this starting to look familiar to anybody? It does, doesn't it? Search is in the top right, top. Global navigation is in the top right, and suggested content is on the bottom right. So Yammer and Facebook share a whole lot in common. I really don't think this is a coincidence, folks. And I can say that because I'm a partner. I don't work for Microsoft. I don't know if they take their cues from Facebook or not. But the bottom line is, if they do, it's really smart. Because a billion people use Facebook. A billion people understand it. Why would you give them a social tool that operates in a completely different way? They already know how to use Facebook. Well, as soon as they use Yammer, it takes about 5 seconds to recognize how to do the 6 or 7 most important functions of a social network. So familiarity breeds usability. This is why an extranet, a Yammer external network extended to your users, even if they don't have Yammer, it's going to be very adoptable, because chances are 7, 8, 9 out of 10 of them already use Facebook. Next is interactivity, okay? And we look at interactivity with customers as well as with partners and vendors. So with customers, and some of these things will be the same, you know, you want to communicate to a large group. They're a captive audience. You collaborate on files and on documents with them in some cases. In most cases, it's primarily sharing finished stuff, but you can certainly ask polls. You can do questions, and I'm not saying you're going to open this up to millions of customers, but to certain key segments, business to business primarily, customers on an external network make a lot of sense. Encourage participation from your customers certainly brings that relationship closer together and builds a shared brand ownership. Many of you in this room are not partners with Microsoft. You are customers, and you are engaged on the SPC14 external network and probably several others, right? Think about the messaging that you're getting and the value that you're getting back. You know, Microsoft gains something from you being on the network, but you gain something from it too. You have access to content. You have direct interaction with experts. If you ask Christoph a question about his presentation yesterday on the Yammer network, he'll answer it. For many people, that's the first opportunity for direct one-on-one interaction with a Microsoft product manager. And you get it because of Yammer. It's fantastic. Right? Certainly collaboration. We talk about that a little bit as well. It's the opportunity to work together. Again, getting feedback, great use case again. The presentations that are out there, I know for a fact that as we speak at this conference, and some of you may have participated in these dialogues, speakers have asked for feedback, have asked for questions, have asked for things leading up to even before yesterday, allowing the audience to help shape their content. So that's just one case where feedback from the external users is helping the owner of the network, in this case Microsoft, give value back to you. So it's a true collaboration. And then, you know, the last, build shared ownership, that sense of we are in this together, right? And if we're here at SharePoint Conference, you know, again, great use case, great example, great case study, there's probably a very solid feeling that we're all in this together around SharePoint. You know, when you look at business partners, it's just slightly different, right? So it's many-to-many engagement now. You know, example we like to give is projects. You know, I'm in a service industry. We provide a service to our customers, and we interact on our projects on a Yammer network back and forth about status, about deliverables, about meetings that were had, and so on. That sort of collaboration, once you leave the room and the whiteboard's been erased, once it's out of email and it's into a place where everybody can join, makes it that much better to have the kind of communication that you need to be successful and give everybody a sense that they're part of this too. Collaboration, again, And we can talk about collaboration until we're blue in the face. I think we've covered the big thing, files and documents and working together. Sharing rich media. Again, replacing the FTP sites of old, the Box and the Dropbox. Actually streaming and playing some of these things as well, although often we see it more for drawings and blueprints and things that we need to actually collaborate on together. And the last thing is that camaraderie and shared accountability. It's a little different in a partnership than it is in a vendor-customer relationship, right? It's a different value. There's still value. It's similar that way. But when you're working with business partners, it's really important to have that sense of camaraderie and shared accountability, or the team's going to fall apart. This helps you build that. So we'd like to say the proof is in the pudding. I often point to Microsoft as a great example of external networks. You know, keep in mind, the acquisition is, what, I think 21 months old. And before it happened, I'm ex-Microsoft, and I was there at a time when Yammer was trying to get us all onto Yammer before the acquisition had happened. And there were some 5,000 Microsoft users on Yammer at that time, about 6 months before the acquisition, freemium users, using Yammer heavily. So it already had a significant, we talk about the grassroots adoption leading the way, there was already a significant Microsoft presence on Yammer before the acquisition actually happened. And then once that did, and once Microsoft really pulled Yammer in as part of Microsoft, external networks started popping up like crazy. And if you partner with Microsoft, you're probably on several dozen. But if you're a customer, you certainly have the opportunity too. We look at SBC 14, we look at examples that I'll show you in a little bit. They use this a lot, and you can't say that there's such a thing as being too big. They've got 90,000 employees, you know, hundreds, thousands of partners, and millions of customers, and they're using Yammer networks every day. And one, you know, we look at examples. You know, we talk about SBC 14 a lot. They use it for other things too. You ever been to a Yammer on Tour event or a SharePoint Saturday? These things, whether you're a partner or you're a customer, often being engaged in those scenarios. You know, a great example, the Midwest team in Microsoft's Chicago office spun up very early an external network for customer engagement and just kind of, again, we talked about managing the message, we talked about the things that you do and why you do it. And then, you know, that one, the adoption, I think, was pretty light for a while. Then they opened it up for SharePoint Saturday. And the guys who were organizing SharePoint Saturday Chicago spun up a group within that Yammer network, and bam, use just exploded through the roof on that Yammer network, because now all these people were coming in and engaging, and Microsoft was learning more about them, and it's all on a Microsoft external network. So, you know, that's another great reason how it's interactive. Talk about cloud advantages. Big, big, big one right here. You don't have to manage external users in Active Directory. They're managed in their own Active Directory in Yammer, often somebody else's home Yammer network, but they're not yours. You don't have to manage them. You don't have to worry about them leaving their company because their Yammer account will be disabled when they leave their company. You don't have to care. You're not paying for their licenses. I'll actually say that one again. You're not paying for their licenses. Didn't expect the applause, but that is a big deal. Right? We have a very large customer who's extremely thrilled with that aspect of it. Really, really helps. And from management as well, as we talk about, it's a godsend. Two, it's accessible anywhere. And we'll talk about mobile in a minute. But, you know, the point of this, regardless of your device, is being able to access Yammer anywhere you have an internet connection, rather than having to worry about VPN, rather than having to worry about Citrix, some of the things that we've seen to enable external collaboration in the past. Yammer is not susceptible to those things. Again, it's an easy user interface for your own teams because they're already on Yammer, as well as for the external users. We talked about the familiarity breeds usability. And then again, log in once. So your users have logged into your home network. They've signed your usage policy. They're collaborating. When you invite them to an external network, they jump over. They probably sign the specific usage policy for the external network, and we'll talk about those usage policies. But they never have to log in. They don't have to authenticate again. The same is true for the external users, right? Because they've logged into their home network. If I'm logged into Perficient.com, Yammer, and I get invited to a Microsoft network, I say, okay, and I click on the email invitation, and there I am. I don't have to supply any credentials. In fact, I was in grave danger of forgetting my Yammer password for a while because I never had to use it. It's very, very easy to join an external network. Another advantage is mobile, right? This is a big, big thing for Yammer. You've got the native mobile apps on iOS, on Windows, Android, and you can collaborate whether it's an iPhone or an iPad. Understanding that even if you don't have a bring your own device policy at your organization, those that you're extending the external networks to might. You want to be accessible to all users. And with Yammer external networks, you can do that. I don't know how many projects I've seen, not derailed, but certainly dealt significant blows because they're trying to collaborate over Citrix, or they're trying to utilize Box or Dropbox, or they're stuck behind a VPN. You don't have those problems. You can get to stuff to your phone. So Yammer's pretty powerful from that perspective. Our last plank in why Yammer is governance. Now, we talk about Yammer. Governance is a little different than when we talk about SharePoint. Nobody's publishing 40-page governance documents for Yammer. If you've ever had to author a SharePoint governance document, you may breathe a sigh of relief. Governance is still important, but it's a little easier to do. And the most important aspect of governance, and we'll dig into each control in our demo coming up here in just a couple minutes. But the big importance is the paid version. Enterprise obviously gives you a lot more than the freemium version. In freemium, the users control everything, and there's no admin oversight. So it's there, and it's usable. And from an interface perspective, you're not gaining a whole lot of functionality when you jump from freemium to enterprise. But you as administrators, and I imagine there's a number of admins in the crowd, now you can manage the content that people are sharing. You own the content. Your organization owns that content. That data is now a corporate asset. You have control over how people behave, how people interact, who gets invited to the network, and so on, that wasn't there with the freemium version. So governance is extremely important to external networks. The data isn't all yours. It might be sensitive. You have that with the paid version. You don't have it with the free version. So keep that in mind. Another thing to note, again, a roadmap comment made yesterday that I think is important here. Enterprise, don't be fooled by the word enterprise. It doesn't necessarily mean huge organizations. They are releasing Yammer Enterprise this spring to academic institutions, to mid-sized businesses with different SKUs specifically for that. They're called A and M, and they're going to make the Yammer Enterprise version available and affordable to organizations, not just huge multinationals, right? Another point about governance is ease of administration, okay? And just a quick shot of these before we go in and demo. You can control who can create, invite, interact much more closely. So we've got two things to show you. One is a very short tour of an existing partner site. It's actually how not the only way that we collaborate as a Microsoft partner with Microsoft, but it's a place where we have control of the message, and we share the most important news that we have with them as a group. So it's a one-to-one use case. The keys to it are, it's home. I work with a systems integrator, not Microsoft. So it's our home. It's our branding. We manage the message. We share the news that's important. They don't care if we won a project or we did this or we did that, but they care about big things. You'll see some big things. It's many to many. So all the different Microsoft people that we interact with are invited to this network, and all the Perficient people who interact with them are on the network. And then it fosters that interactivity and the common purpose that we talked about. So let me jump back over here and get off the movie screen. Okay, so this is proficience, mouse over. This is proficience specific external network for collaborating with people from Microsoft. I love the fact that we have the Yammer messaging here, and we are federated with them, but if I don't know somebody's email address, I can't.
This one's on. Bear with me for just a second, please.
Check. Very loud now. Yeah, okay, we're good. So this is back to the demo. Yammer network for Proficient and Microsoft. And the key thing here is that we use this for sharing big news. For instance, we made an acquisition 2 weeks ago. We shared this out here on the Yammer network with Microsoft, and some of our great partner people at Microsoft saw it and they liked it and they pushed it up. They're collaborating with us and reaching out to our people. We're sharing with them meetings that we have in their offices. So it's all really useful from that perspective. If we look here at the admin, we can take a look in at some of our settings. These are very important. We'll look deeper into these when we spin up a new network. But unlike some of our external networks, it's important to us that only the admins can invite new members here. Not everybody needs to interact with Microsoft. And in fact, within Proficient, we are a national systems integrator. We don't just do Microsoft consulting. We don't need the IBM guys in our business coming in and collaborating and seeing what we do with Microsoft to make our business work. It's none of their business. So where you do have, keep in mind, Yammer's there to break down silos, right? But where you do have organizational boundaries that need to be maintained and governance around them, you have that ability to control interactivity here, right? Certainly, some networks are important to have daily digests, but this is more of a low-traffic network, so it's weekly. We disable a number of features here that might make sense internally, but make less sense externally, like an org chart. I will jump back over. There's not a whole lot else to show on this one. It's just one example of a use case. So as we go back to our next demo, we're actually going to demonstrate, first off, global network settings for external networks, which is something you control from your home screen. We're going to move into setting up and configuring an external network. Again, very simple, but some things that you have a right to see. The local external network settings that are specific to each individual external network and can change based on the network. The usage policy and some tips around that and some gotchas, because what's true for an internal usage policy is either more true or less true for an external network. It's all true, but the degrees are different and they're very important, as well as user settings and content and security. And that should leave us just a little bit of time for Q&A at the end. So, flip back. So the first thing that we do is that we're on our home network here, and if we want to create a new external network, scroll down all the way under our various list of external networks, and I'll highlight that for a second. You notice that the networks that you belong to are right here in the bottom left underneath your main global nav and all your groups within your main network, right, your home network. So we can collapse that. It's very easy for users to get from network to network within Yammer. If we want to create a new network, up pops the screen. And what you see here, it's the same as creating an internal group. The distinction between an internal group and an external network is a big one. One allows you to add people from outside your company. Yammer stops you here and kind of asking, are you sure you want to create an external network? Maybe an internal group is a better idea for this one. So kind of a check and balance there to say, yes, this is what we want to do. It's not quite as confusing as the create a new site in SharePoint and then choose one of 20 different templates or apps, as they call them today, right? There's only two choices, internal group or external network. You can add an image, and we won't do that right now, network name, a description, and then, this is important, the permissions. So often, these will be closed. Default, internal group, it's open. You want to enable collaboration. External group, rather an external network, a little less important to enable that. You want to make sure that the people who are invited are the right people. You want to exercise some control over that. So while that may slow down initial invitation of people to the site, it's an important control and one that I encourage you to think about if you're looking to collaborate externally with Yammer. And then the last one, this checkbox here, allow members of your company to join without an invite. It would show up in their group recommendations and their network recommendations, and they can join in. And that one, you know, depends on the business case for the network and who you're collaborating with. For those of you who've been to past SharePoint conferences and encountered the vagaries of conference wireless, I am not going to actually hit create network. It does take some time, maybe 30 to 60 seconds to spin one up. Time is at a premium, so we'll just go to the network we already created. Okay? And here, you know, you see an external network. We've got all the people in our screen. We've got our admin options. Why don't we walk through the admin features and the governance of the external network now? So the specific features for this external network, these are not global, okay? These are specific to this particular external network. We're all here, you know, and we'll look at them. The Success Center is really valuable stuff in any Yammer situation. You raise your hand if you're familiar with this. It's great stuff for getting a network going. It's far, far more important for an internal network than an external one, but there are some important things here as far as this checklist is concerned. Talk about uploading the logo, not so important, but adding users, certainly, you want to think about that. Usage policy, you want to think about that. And these are all fields that we'll go into a little bit later on. Join the YCN, again, that's something you've already done if you're an internal admin. Doesn't apply to you creating a new external network. Writing the welcome message, very important to bring people in and create that sense of collaborative togetherness. So as we go into the network itself, really the most important options are under configuration, design, and then down here under users and content and security. So we configured it initially with some images and, you know, a URL. Our message prompt might not be what are you working on in an external network. It might be what do you have to share, or something more geared toward the purpose. You know, what is your interest today? What, based on a customer or a partner relationship, is the pertinent question here. Again, privacy. We talked about this before. We talked about the settings. Related networks, allowing this network to show up in directories. Again, not something that you necessarily want to do if you're being careful about who you're inviting internally. But if you want people to kind of opt in and say, hey, I'd like to join this network and send a request, then you would enable that and allow people to show it. It's not top secret. It's just something we're being careful about. If you want to find it, discover it, and ask to join, feel free. Then we'll check that off. And we've got our feature enablement again. Org chart not necessary. Other things can be very useful. And of course, you know, this is also important. You can delete networks very easily from this screen. Often a network might exist for a set period of time. Let's say SPC 14. It's going to be very useful during the conference. It's going to be very useful for people to continue to collaborate sometime after the conference. But at some point, use will trail off. There will be a new SharePoint conference on the way. They may delete this network, they may do other things with it, but it's a point in time, it's serving a need, a specific business case over a set period of time, and once that expires, you can delete it. Usage policy, well, design, not a lot to that. you know, select your colors, select your logo. Talk about brand, that's where you manage the brand. Your admins, you control them here. Again, it's fairly straightforward. Usage policy is a key point, though. So what really sets a usage policy apart when it's an external policy versus an internal policy is a couple of things. Oh, good, this one isn't touchscreen. Here I was going to pinch and zoom, and I can't do that. Importantly, you know, users who sign in agree to some proper behavior, right? And for your internal users, you know, you can link off to your internal communications policy and all is well and good. And you can keep it free-flowing and friendly. And the actual Yammer success training that the customer success managers for the partners go through, it talks about this being friendly and open and breezy. But with an external network, that's not necessarily always going to be the best case. While it works internally, externally, again, this content is not all yours. These users are not all yours. Very important to ensure that this data is safe. Everybody who signs this policy is agreeing to a legally binding document. You want to remind them of that. You want to remind them that everything shared is likely available under NDA, assuming it is. It should be. that it cannot be shared outside the bounds of the network or with people who aren't part of that interaction. You want to call these things out. This is a legally binding policy. You want to make sure that the legal disclaimers that you need to include are included. So very important points around usage policy. The activity stream keys, this is just how you enable other applications to interact with your news feed. In this case, you notice we've enabled SharePoint. Badgeville's pretty cool. There's other stuff. We're not going to enable Box. But this is just how you generate those keys. Inviting users. Again, you can do it manually. There's bulk options for all of this as we move down. Importing from the address book can be very useful. Remove users in much the same way. This is actually nice because it's predictive. It's the only one that is. You can't add users predictively, but I can remove Jamie from the network very easily if he's offended me. I won't. You notice two options here. This is very important and why I did it. You can permanently retain the user and purge all their messages, or you can permanently remove them, excuse me, you can remove them, but you can keep the messages in the content they've added. That can be very useful when somebody has left either company, but the content they've contributed to that point was very valuable. Why should the knowledge that they contributed as part of your company or as part of your vendor disappear just because they've left their current position? It doesn't have to. You can maintain that and allow it to perpetuate. In any case, we'll keep Jamie here because I like him. We can block users. And this can be particularly useful if somebody's been misbehaving. And there are ways to monitor keywords for that and find out. You can also, when you're monitoring keywords, and here we don't have anything in here, and we can let Royden, our admin, know that these keywords are used. But it's not necessarily for curse words or bad language only. We talk about passports, social security numbers, things of that nature pop up in conversations. You want to make sure that anything like that, patient health information, certain giveaways for those of you in healthcare, if anybody threatens to, not threatens maliciously, but threatens through ignorance to share something of that nature, you can monitor that and be aware of it and be notified to ensure compliance. Again, we talked about bulk functionality for this stuff. Basically, you're creating a CSV in Excel, loading it up, and adding all those users at one time. A little more time-consuming up front, perhaps, but certainly far more efficient. Export users. You can export all the users in fields. That's less powerful than exporting all the data. And what this will do, will export all user activity and list of users and other good stuff from the network in a series of files that then you can open, audit, and interact with and play with the data to your heart's content. This export has actually proven really, really useful for our network admins in understanding user behavior and who's doing what and how that's being done. Often if you go to the analytics screen, how many of you folks have used the Yammer analytics panel before? Okay, not a lot. I'll show that. And it's not going to be a lot here because this network's like a day old. But as you can see how the network's grown, who's engaged. This is zero right now. That's not true. Sometimes this happens. It's a little glitch in the system. It still says zero. Well, I should go grab some real data to show you. Yams. Tony's been yammering. Oh, Tony. Okay. I'm just going to show you some actual live data analytics here to make this a little more meaningful because only a few people raised their hands. Okay, so you actually see engagement, who's been interacting, who's been posting messages. And you look at this. This is one that people always ask about. What are private messages? Why are there so many private messages going on? And that's just IM. That's IM activity that people are doing, and often it's much higher than people would expect to see. And when you offload your data in that CSV export, you get a better feel for what that is and who's been sending them and so on. Any other data retention? You know, there's an important point here and the last one of our presentation on the demo. Hard delete versus soft delete. There may be compliance reasons that you need to delete users and their activity, but maintain it in your system and archive it. That's when the soft delete is recommended. You may also have a policy when people leave that you hard delete their activity and all of their related content. That is also an option. So we've got a few minutes left. That'll conclude our demo. Pop back over here. So that's what we have today. Obviously, some of the stuff that we learned in the roadmap, inline social, as Yammer gets tied into groups with Exchange and Outlook Online, the extranet functionality gets that much more powerful. Office Graph and what they showed us with Oslo allows us to get more predictive in how we serve content up to users. Inline social and Yammer being extended to places like Dynamics CRM, the opportunities for external collaboration in these areas are somewhat less than they are for internal, but there's certainly applications, and I encourage you to think about them creatively. Office web apps, obviously, being tied in, and Yammer collaboration next to the document while you're working on the document in the browser window, going to be very powerful for document collaboration with partners, with vendors. And then OneDrive, certainly, as well. If you haven't seen that 282 session, we definitely recommend it. So, you know, with Yammer, again, you'll be prepared for every external use case, just like Batman. We got one more. You get a treat for sticking around.
Hey, kids. We hope you're enjoying our adventure with Scooby-Doo, but we'd like to take a moment to talk about what to do in case you get attacked by a shark.
That's right, Batman. Shark attacks can be scary, but you can defend yourself with a Bat Aquatic Menace Neutralizer. Make sure it's on the proper setting. If a shark grabs your cape, don't panic. Any quality crime-fighting cape should be equipped with a quick-release collar.
Of course, my cape has been soaked in shark repellent for just such an occasion. Remember these tips, and you'll know what to do if a shark attacks.
So again, Batman does run into sharks, and he's prepared. As Yammer admins, you'll run into external scenarios. You'll be prepared, too. There's some great content out there. There's lots of sessions yet to come. Highly recommend any number of these presenters. I'll be going to a few of the sessions myself because they look to be really interesting. There's a lot of resources out there. Links in every presentation in the social track should be included. You certainly have the option to go out and download this stuff. Bottom line, today, Yammer external networks are a fast, easy, and safe way to collaborate with your vendors, partners, and customers. We have 10 minutes if we want to do any questions. Otherwise, thank you for coming, and I appreciate you stopping by. Thank you. Oh, yeah, sure. Go ahead. If you've got a question, feel free to step up to the microphone so we can record it. It's off?
Off.
It's on.
Is that on now?
All right.
There we go. So I am a Microsoft admin of an external network. I'm using it for my community, the Solutions Advisory Board. And I have two methods of control that I need to exercise but can't find out how to do it. One is to prevent members from creating groups willy-nilly because they're creating duplicate groups. And then I need to know how to delete a group that is a duplicate or a triplicate group.
Yeah, so it's a question of deleting groups, right? And who can create groups and who can't.
I want to be able to create groups. I don't want them to be able to create groups.
Okay, so you can create groups, but you don't want them to.
Yes.
Admin only.
Right.
Okay. We can actually show you how to do that if you stick around for a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, you definitely have the ability to close that off and control that a little bit.
How do I delete a group that's been already created?
You can go in. I always forget how to do it, but it's there, right? We can demonstrate that to you after. Okay. Royden's here. He's got a Yammer network up where he can actually show you that. But okay. There is an option to remove it.
Number three, since mm-hmm. this is an enterprise tool, when will content preservation and e-discovery be worked into this?
That's a great question. And I will answer that with the disclaimer that I am a partner, and I don't know the product roadmap. I would encourage you to ask Christelf or ask some of the folks from Social or alternately the eDiscovery track as well. I'm sure it's something that's on their radar, but I don't know the exact answer. I think we've got a line here if we've got more questions.
Hi.
Hi.
You mentioned new licenses coming up this year. Do you
yes.
know what licenses are they? And because the example I'm working with is kiosk users in SharePoint. Mm-hmm. They don't have access to Yammer. Will there be something for them, like affordable, cheap licenses, similar to kiosk in SharePoint?
So the KSKU, I believe there's something out there with the KSKU for Yammer right now. And I think it's based
exists?
On your EA, right? So.
Okay, I'm not aware of that. So it already exists.
Okay, I believe so. Again, I'm a partner, right? One of the values of being an SI partner is I don't have to get into the licensing discussion anymore.
Right.
But, you know, the announcement yesterday was specific for academic, and they're creating a SKU for that,
mm-hmm.
and for mid-sized businesses, and they're creating a SKU for that.
Okay.
What you're asking is probably covered under the K SKU. It's not part of the new SKUs, but I believe that there is something available where you can get Yammer as part of that.
Okay. We'll look into that. Thank you.
No problem.
Hi. I have two questions.
Sure.
One is your retention policies.
Mm-hmm.
You showed the hard delete and the soft delete. Now, how long are they retained after the soft delete is done in Yammer?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. I'd encourage you to check that with Yammer. It's stored on their servers, right? So you own the data, but it's stored on Yammer's servers and Microsoft's data center as they move that to the Microsoft data center. That's a good one for your Yammer Black Belt, your Microsoft Office 365 team to check into that. I'm sure it's part of the agreement you sign when you enter into the Office 365 customer scenario, but I don't know the exact answer to that.
Okay, because the reason behind the question is we have legal policies of, you know, retentions, 5 years, 7 years legal policies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Especially with the external networks, we have
like
to comply.
Date of creation or date of termination plus 5 or plus 7 or so on. Yeah, that's pretty standard. But I don't know exactly what the control is. It's not like an information management policy in SharePoint where you specify that. It's living in their data center. I'd like to find out a little bit more about that myself. If you ask the question in the Yammer feed for this session, we'll go back, we'll track it down, and we'll give you an answer on it.
Okay. The second question is with the new SP1 rollout of SharePoint, it says that you could actually replace Yammer with Newsfeed, right?
The what for SharePoint?
The SP1. Service pack,
oh,
one
service pack one. So you can replace the SharePoint feed with the Yammer feed.
With the Yammer feed,
yes.
Yeah. So now what if you have a rollout where you're only rolling out Yammer to a certain portion of the users in the organization? Could you use both Newsfeed and Yammer together?
You could. It's certainly something that's been done. We even have a part of our own intranet right now in my company where we do use a SharePoint Newsfeed still. Is that because the SharePoint that they're accessing is on-premise, or is it SharePoint online?
Yes.
It's on-premise.
It's
okay.
On-premise.
So there's definitely a case for that. You obviously, what you want to spend a little time on is understanding the specific business case and setting up the governance. If they don't have access to Yammer and there's a specific reason they don't have access to Yammer, then making sure that they're going to pages where Yammer's not, you know, the Yammer app is not installed, the Yammer web parts are not installed. Though I would also encourage you to take a look at that business case and confirm for yourself how valid it is, because often the power of a network like Yammer is magnified as it grows in volume, right? So as we restrict people, I see far more often people are enabled on Yammer. You know, the last guy was asking about the case queue. People are enabled for Yammer and the breezy, easy collaboration, and less so for the heavy document interaction. So far more often, it's more of the X Yammer is larger than the Y SharePoint. What you're describing is something kind of converse to that. So it's certainly not questioning your use case, but I would say, you know, go back and look at it and see if maybe opening Yammer up would add value for folks.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
Hi.
Hi.
So for us, we want to let users from a different domain access our Yammer home network.
Because users, I'm sorry, could you step to the mic a little closer?
Sorry. Is this better?
I think so.
Okay, so we want to let users from a different domain access our Yammer home network because we want to let them access all the internal resources and everything that's been shared on the home network. So creating an external network is not the solution because they will not be able to access the home network.
So both those domains are your domains, though. They're wholly owned domains by your company.
No, they're two separate companies.
Oh, they're separate companies.
Yeah.
Okay. And you don't want to create an external network for them?
Yeah, because you want to let them access the home network.
Okay. Okay. We're actually facing a situation like that with one company which has several different domains globally, and we merged them together.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think what you would do is whitelist their domain in your... I would still create an external network.
Okay.
Because I would be very careful of inviting people, even if they're from another company and you trust them and you want them to be part of your network, unless it's like they're under contract to you and they're actually contracted employees of your company.
Yeah, there's actually a contract between the two companies. So it's you can say that they're on contract, hired to this company and working for this company.
So you can whitelist their domain and allow them to join your network.
You know, again,
I would look hard at it before making that decision
okay.
and selecting that option, but it is an option.
So when we say whitelisting, is there any option like that in the admin section?
There is.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
No problem.
Hi.
Hi.
We heard from one of our customers that they have blocked Yammer. Is that something, can you comment, do you see a lot of that out in the market? Because this is just one customer, so we haven't gone out and done a survey, but we don't want to start rolling this out and find out, hey, 50% of our customers won't be able to join.
This is a funny question. And can you stick around for 2 minutes afterwards and I can answer it off the record?
Yeah.
Okay, great, because I do have an answer for that. The public answer to that is, you know, certainly finding out why they've blocked Yammer and what the rationale for it is and building a case to unblock Yammer, which can usually be done, and I've seen it done and I've helped do it. But we'll talk one-to-one about that.
Hi. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. In case of many-to-many, if I am having multiple customers on my external network, is the current feature allows me to hide the profiles, so set my...
To the current feature allows you to what?
Two different customers can't see each of the profiles. So if I get two customers on my external network, and I want to hide one customer such that they can't see other customer profiles or the customer user's profile, is it feature available on Yammer right now?
You can hide and choose not to show various, you know, we showed all the fields in the profiles. You could disable every field and just pretty much leave it as the user and their picture and their name. But that's about, that's like the complete extent of what you could do to hide a profile, because at the end of the day, social is about people, right? You have to have a name attached to it. It's not anonymous collaboration, so you have to have a name, and you know, you can disable just about every other field. But people have to have identity, otherwise the network will not work. You can't disable the identity.
Yeah, I mean, so Microsoft has two different customers.
Mm-hmm.
They're selling two different products to them, but same product to them. One is a different license, different cost. Second one, different license, different cost.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my customer A to know what customer B has been sold, and I want customer B to know what customer A has been sold. And we're having conversations about these things happening. Now, if customer A came to know there's a customer B, can they see the person?
You're worried about them mixing?
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I would be very thoughtful in the initial planning and configuration of if I'm going to mix my customers in any case, right?
Okay.
And what the case of the extranet is. There may be a valid place and reason to mix customers, but obviously, one of the nice things about this is customers don't usually get to talking behind your back on a network you're hosting. You can certainly, again, go back into the admin screen where we showed for keyword monitoring and be aware if that happens. But I'm going to say that that sort of activity, if you create this network for a specific case and you're clear about why it's there, and even if there's a specific timestamp, like a SharePoint conference or a specific engagement, a project that's on for 3 months, and then you spin it down, most of the communication, if not all, over that network is going to be specific to that business case. One of the things about Yammer that I've noticed just generally, and I know this doesn't specifically address a governance option for what you're asking, but people use it for business. People far less often, I have yet to see an external network that I've engaged on where somebody uploads a picture of their dog. It just hasn't happened. Right, people collaborate for the reason that they come to that network, and that's it. They don't often have time to engage in other conversations with people they don't know about topics not related to the purpose at hand. So recognizing that the activity is going to be rare, then what I would do is set up a keyword monitoring to make me aware if, for some crazy reason, they did go down that road. Does that make sense?
Okay, my question was more about basically, yeah, probably it's going to be more extensive. Let others ask a question.
Sure. We can talk after.
Yeah.
Okay. My question isn't specifically about Yammer for external, but my company isn't using Yammer at all right now. One thing I was wondering, you're describing how easy it is for people to see what other people are doing, get linked in with what's going on. I'm wondering the flip side of that, is there an easy way or what capability is there when you have a new new person joining a team, and that team already knows we want them to definitely already be following this and this and this. Do you understand my question?
Like pre-configure following?
No, I mean, like, if everyone else on that team is already following, this project workspace or certain people, and they know we have this new staff member coming and we definitely want them to follow these certain things, can that just be set up for them when they come in the door, or does that person have to do it themselves?
Somebody's going to have to do it, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that person. You can invite them to the key groups or documents or what have you, tag them, make them aware of it. We've got people using it for new employee onboarding, and that's certainly a check mark on the list, right? And you're not going to do it to 30 different groups and documents and so on, but there's several key ones that we want people to be involved with early on. And currently, there's not a script that allows you to just, boom, you're connected to everything you need to be connected to. But certainly, inviting them to it is far more efficient than asking them to go out and do it themselves.
Okay. Thanks, that helps.
No problem. And last one.
Yeah, so just in an example with SharePoint then. So if I just have a use case where I want to have a team site where I have a handful of internal people and a handful of external people. Collaborate. So if I create that team site in SharePoint and I have Yammer enabled as my feed, so to speak, when I create that team site, then will I have an environment? Well, the Yammer group that's created for that team site, will it be a group that's external or is it automatically internal? I guess I'm just trying to understand how, if I'm in that SharePoint team site, will I actually be able to have those people not only take advantage of all the features of the team site, which they would be able to do, but also have a Yammer environment which they could collaborate on.
So first off, is it SharePoint Online or SharePoint On-Prem?
SharePoint Online.
Okay. And you've invited those external users to SharePoint Online?
Through the team site.
So today, and this is a very important distinction, today you would have to spin up an external group on Yammer and invite them to that separately if you want them on both feeds, right?
Okay.
But the single identity that's in the roadmap within the next few months is going to obviate the need for that,
okay.
Right? When you create the group, it's going to create the team site, it's going to create the Exchange group all at the same time, right?
Okay.
It's going to, if you're invited into SharePoint Online and there's a Yammer feed on there, it's going to be your same identity when you try to comment on the Yammer feed. So
might be worth waiting in my case. Then.
Yeah. You're not going to have to wait all that long according to the roadmap session that we attended yesterday. I'm not the product guy. I don't know that for certain, but that's what they told us.
Thank you.
No problem. So it applies to SharePoint Online and Yammer. Who you've invited to SharePoint Online and Yammer determines whether it's an internal use or an external use. Make sense? Okay. We good? Well, thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.
What is your name and who are you with?
Oh, yeah. I'm Rich Wood with Perficient.
Okay.
We're actually in booth 306.